Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Israel Unplugged. This is Josh Wander with my co-host, Rabbi Moshe Lichtman. Israel Unplugged is where you get all your unadulterated facts of where we are holding in the redemptive process, focusing primarily on the ingathering of the exiles. No spin, no twist, just facts on the ground. So we're excited to have you today. This is a live show, so all of you are welcome to call in. We have some amazing guests headed for today. We have the first guest, which is one of Israel's newest and latest, one of the newest arrivals to Eretz Israel, someone who just made Aliyah, and his name is Rabbi Stephen Pruzansky. He was the rabbi of one of the largest congregations, Orthodox congregations in America, in Teaneck, New Jersey, and we will be hosting him and asking him some pointed questions about exile and about redemption. We will continue on speaking about this concept of exile and redemption, specifically because we are right before the Tisha B'Av, the saddest day of mourning for our people. We're going to discuss what that means for the Jewish people and how that leads into the redemptive process. You know, it's very interesting that Mark Twain came and visited here in 1866, if I'm not mistaken, and he's called Palestine a desolate country where soil is rich enough but is given over wholly to weeds, a silent, mournful expanse. A desolation is here that not even imagination can grace with the pomp of life and action. We never saw a human being on the whole root. There was hardly a tree or a shrub anywhere. Even the olive and the cactus, those fast friends of worthless soil, had almost deserted the country. So we know today that we're no longer in a desolate country. We have a flourishing country, and we're going to speak about that and what that means for the redemptive process, where we're headed, and we appreciate you sticking with us. Because, and again, if you have your questions, call in. The numbers are on the website, and speak to us. You can also enter the chat room and speak to us through that. We're happy to address any questions that you have. Stay tuned for Israel Unplugged with Josh Wander and Rabbi Moshe Lichtman.
Okay, we'll see you in a few minutes.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Josh, you ready?
Welcome back to Israel Unplugged. This is Josh Wander. I'm here with Rabbi Moshe Lichtman.
Shalom.
We have a special guest with us also, one of Israel's newest and latest arrivals, Rabbi Stephen Pruzansky from Teaneck, New Jersey. But before we get to him, if you can just give me 1 minute to speak about a tractate in the Talmud called Megillah. And it says a very interesting thing over there. It says a story. It asks a question in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Everybody knows the famous rabbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And he asks the question. He says, Bo or U, come and see. Kama chavivin Yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come and see how endeared are the Jewish people to God, to Hashem. Shebechol makom shegalu shchina imahen. In every place that the Jews went into exile, the Shekhinah, God's presence, went along with them. And it gives examples. It says that we went into exile in Egypt, and the Shekhinah and God's presence came with us. And then we went into exile in Babel, in Babylon, and God's presence also came with us. And then it finishes off and says, "Va'af k'shehena sidin lihigael Shekhinah imahem shene'emar v'shov Hashem Elokecha shuvuscha." It continues off and says, in the final redemption, the Jews will also be in exile, and also God will be with them. When I learned this this part of the Talmud with my children, I came to the conclusion that one of the things that is holding back the redemption is actually Jews staying outside of the land. If there are Jews that are outside of Israel, they're in America, for example, then it says that in any place that whenever we're in exile, the God's presence is going to be with them. So as long as there are Jews in exile, God's presence is so to say, held hostage there in exile. When I said this to Moreinu Rabbeinu Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita, our rabbi, he said, "Josh, you learned this Gemara wrong." I said, "Really? How so?" So he said to me, he says, "Who says that the Shekhinah, who says that God's presence is still in America?" I said, "Excuse me, Rabbi?" I said, that's what the Gemara says. It says in every place that we went into exile, God's presence came with us. He says, no. He says, "You don't understand." He says, that's talking about while the Jews have not yet come back to Eretz Yisrael. But today the Jews have come back to the land of Israel. There's no, God's presence is no longer in America. Powerful, huh? So with that statement, and what he was saying was actually a lot more radical than what I was saying. But I would like to welcome Rabbi Pruzanski onto the show. We've already introduced you as being the rabbi of one of the largest congregations in America, Orthodox congregations in America, and we welcome you to Eretz Yisrael and onto our show.
Thank you very much. It's a privilege to be here. Reminds me that about 2 years ago, I discussed a similar theme, and I said that we are privileged to be witnessing something that we pray for every day. That our eyes should gaze upon the return of the divine presence to Jerusalem, to Yerushalayim. And in fact, the last 70 years has seen that happen. In which case, it's exactly the point that you just made. The Shekhinah is back in Zion. And as the Shekhinah returns to Zion, it recedes from the exile. And therefore, as we see, in fact, one of the points that I made is that when the Jewish people were in the exile, there was a certain emanation that we had that influenced religious life in the exile. But now you see, for example, America is becoming a largely secular society, and the religions are on the retreat. And I attributed it, the last 50 years especially, to the idea that the Shekhinah has returned to Yerushalayim, and therefore it's receded from the exile. So God's influence itself is less felt in the exile than it was before. And consequently, religious life in the exile, for non-Jews certainly, but even for Jews, has begun to recede too.
Wow, that's an amazing idea. Let me ask you a question. So you made Aliyah this past week. We understand you're in Bidud. You are in isolation for 2 weeks because of it.
I look at it as a second honeymoon with my wife after in the rabbinate for so many years. Now it's just the two of us for 2 weeks.
That's beautiful, beautiful. So my question is, was this Aliyah many years in the making? Is it something more like it was always a dream to retire in Israel, or were you trying to give a message to your congregation and say to them, you know what, follow me. It's time to go back to Israel, time to go home. And, you know, I hope you will all follow me.
The best way to lead is to lead by example. I announced this to my congregation 18 months ago in January of 2019. And they were a little surprised at the time. And I said no. And they realized it's building for years already. The way I spoke, the tours that we led to Israel, the fact that I've been visiting Israel 4 or 5 times a year for the last 20 years. So I think they knew where our heart was and where we would eventuate. But, yeah, to many people it was a shock. But I hope that it does inspire others. Thank God we have a very good record in the shul of encouraging Aliyah. We have many dozens of families who made Aliyah. We have a little less than two dozen children of B'nai Yeshurun living in Modi'in. So in my past visits here, I would see them regularly. And actually, one just visited me on Erev Shabbat also. So in fact, it's quite gratifying. But I hope to set a good example. I'm not planning on retiring. I'll find some way to serve Kol Yisrael. And I want people to see that Eretz Yisrael is not just a vacation destination, but in fact a place where a Jew can live and can be part of Jewish destiny.
Beautiful. Just on that point that you started with, you said the best way to lead is by example. So when I made Aliyah close to 30 years ago already, I was a young couple. So I had an aunt who lived in Borough Park, mom, someone who you would not really, you know, think is somebody, a Zionist. And she wasn't. She's definitely not a Zionist. But she called me and she said to me something that stuck with me forever. She said, "You are not leaving, you are leading." And that's the way, you know, even someone in the more Haredi world understood, and she really does understand that the Jewish people belong in Israel, and every Jew who comes is leading the rest of the Jewish people back to Israel.
One by one. So Rashi says in Parashat Nitzavim that when God restores us, v'shuv Hashem elokech eshuvutcha v'richamecha, God will restore our captivity and have compassion on us. So Rashi there quotes the statement of the sages that God is going to take each person one by one, yad by yad. And that's what it is. Jews are coming from across the entire globe. And it's such a personal decision because everyone has individual calculations to make that it really comes out exactly what Rashi said. Yad by yad, ish ish, one echad echad, one one. But nonetheless, one plus one plus one eventually becomes millions as well.
Right, right.
Clearly, you are one that has encouraged your congregation, your congregants, to make Aliyah and promoted Aliyah. But there are many rabbis out there that you hear. I speak to people almost every day that said that I went to my rabbi and asked him whether I should make Aliyah, and the answer was no. This is not the right time. You have to be concerned about chinuch, about education of your children. You have to be concerned about parnasa, about making a livelihood. A dozen different excuses were given why you should not make Aliyah. So my question is, if it's, and the answer that I usually give them, by the way, is it really depends on how you ask the question, because in the end, if you just like any other question in halakha, in Jewish law, whether you're asking a question about the Shabbat observance or whether you're asking about kashrut, the more knowledge you're coming to the table with when you ask the rabbi a question, the better the answer, the more precise the answer is going to be. So if you come to the rabbi and you say, for example, is it a mitzvah today to live in Eretz Yisrael, a mitzvah from the Torah? So as Rabbi Lichtman spoke about in our past episode, almost across the board, there's a consensus that it is a mitzvah today to live in Eretz Yisrael, and it would be very hard pressed for any rabbi to answer otherwise. I'm just curious, what is your take as far as people that have questions to their rabbis, halachic questions, whether they should make Aliyah?
I had to counsel on a number of occasions parents who were quite distraught that the children were making Aliyah. It was a little easier for me from a personal perspective because two of my daughters live here already, preceded us in Aliyah with grandchildren here too. I have a son and a daughter also with grandchildren still living in New Jersey. But yeah, it was difficult. And American Jews worked themselves into a certain sort of Zionism whereby they support Israel, give money, march in the parade, visit, send their children to yeshiva, etc. But Aliyah was not in the question. In fact, when my elder daughter made Aliyah, I said almost 10 years ago, I remember speaking at a farewell party for her, and I said how proud we are of my daughter and my son-in-law, children, etc. And then I said, where do we go wrong? We raised you to be American Zionists. March in the parade, give money, visit. But whoever thought of Aliyah? I was saying it facetiously, but that attitude does pervade American Jewry, maybe not as much today as 10, 20, 30 years ago, but it still exists to a certain event. When people, to a certain extent, when people would ask me, I would always say, of course it's a mitzvah. You can get into the fine details, whether it's an obligatory mitzvah or it's the fulfillment of a mitzvah, but no one will disagree that the narrative, the arc of the Torah, is that God founds a nation, the children of Avram, and gives them his Torah and takes them to the land of Israel.
So everybody's welcome to join us for the next segment, and we're going to continue this amazing conversation. Thank you for joining with us, and stick with us for the next segment.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Israel Unplugged. We're here with Rabbi Stephen Przanski, formerly of Teaneck, New Jersey, now of Modi'in Elite, a beautiful place here in the hills of Eretz Israel.
Modi'in.
And we were just discussing how he personally decided to come on Aliyah. But during the break, we were discussing how there are sometimes that there are certain rabbis that are actually pillars of the communities that they're in, and for them to leave would actually be detrimental to the welfare of the entire community. You didn't feel that was the case in your case.
Well, no, it is true. It's a valid point, and certainly there are communities that depend on the Rav, and he makes a difference. I've always felt personally that, yeah, there is something of a shidduch, a good match between a Rav and a community, but you know, Napoleon once said, the graveyard is filled with indispensable people. Whoever exists, there is someone to take his place. And at a certain point, certainly in life, a person has to try to fulfill his or her own destiny. And I think that's true in the rabbinate also. It's true in life. It's true for families. And I said a year ago that, you know, many people think of Aliyah, but how long does a person have to live his life in waiting, in expectation? Do you want to go through your entire life saying, soon, soon, I will, I might? At a certain point, you have to act. And I think in our community, we were blessed because we constantly had Olim, several families a year. And I would say 90-95% were successful Olim. And those who weren't, almost in every case, is because the children didn't adjust. But otherwise, you had people coming of all ages, from singles and the teens to newlyweds to people in middle age and retirees. And over 90-95% were successful. They found their place in the land of Israel. And why not? Just like Israel has a climate to match every taste, there's no doubt that there are parts of Israel that could appeal to every Jew. And every Jew's lifestyle can find a home in the land of Israel. It's meant to be, like the Maharal said, the natural habitat of the Jew. So the exile is unnatural, but Israel is the natural habitat. So, of course, a Jew is going to find his place here.
Let me ask you something. So you made Aliyah, as we discussed before. It's been a dream for many, many years. Are you of the opinion that based on recent events, especially in America, the riots, everything that's going on, the rise of anti-Semitism, that there is a urgency that maybe the rabbis have to speak about to their congregations, that it's no longer just make aliyah because it's a mitzvah and because it's really the best thing for your spirituality, etc. But, you know, we really have to get out and come to Eretz Yisrael.
I think American Jews will largely respond more, if they will at all, to a positive appeal than to a negative appeal. That's not to say that the threats of persecution should not weigh on the minds of American Jews or the collapse of American society. Someone asked me just 2 months ago in May, do I think that God is sending American Jews a sign, someone in my community? And I said to him, well, in the last few months, he sent a pandemic, an economic collapse, and then mass protests and riots across America. What type of sign are you looking for? We're not going to get, we'll never get a personal invitation. That's not how life is. But a person has to be able to see that every golus has its end. Every exile will come to an end. That's the history of the Jewish people. I don't think we've had a case in our history where Jews left an exile at the right time. We always stay too late. As a people, not as individuals, but as a people, as a nation, we did that. And I think it behooves American Jews to see exactly where the country is today, where America is today, and whether they'll be able to recover. So America's a very resilient society, but the difference, I think, between now and what's happened in the past is now you have the elites of American society who, to a large extent, no longer believe in the American ethos. When you have people, voices that are not censored, but are proudly broadcast on the media saying that the Declaration of Independence is racist and the Constitution is racist and the history of America is all racism, it's all negative and nothing to be proud of, it's difficult to recover from that because you need a foundation. America is a great melting pot, but you had those unifying elements, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and God we trust, etc. You had those unifying elements. When those unifying elements are seen as sources of discord and not unity, it's very difficult to rebuild a society. And I think that is something that American Jews have to take to heart and not just assume things will bounce back as they were before. It might not be so. Then again, that's the negative, the coerced aliyah, is never as meaningful to a person, even spiritually fulfilling to a person, as is the positive spiritual aliyah. So you could have elements of both. No doubt right. For the last 70 years, it was only the positive spiritual aliyah that spoke to American Jewry after the Six-Day War, Yom Kippur War, etc., certainly the last 20 years. So that's what spoke to American Jewry. I think what could tip the scale is this notion that America is not what it was. And with great portions of society in an uproar and societal institutions under attack, it's time for American Jewry to look at life as they had it and contemplate it might not always be so.
It's interesting. I think it was the Ger Rebbe who said that it's easier to get the Jew out of Gullus than to get the Gullus out of a Jew. It's one thing to be able to get them to move here. It's another thing to get them to recognize that they are no longer in exile. And I think that is another discussion that we want to have about redemption and exile, and especially right here before Tisha B'Av. I think this is an important concept that we have to breach, is the whole concept of us living in a time period of redemption. It's something which I feel personally is what is most lacking in the education of North American Jewry. I think if they really understood, especially those, of course, that are Orthodox, if they really understood that the Messiah, that the Mashiach is waiting for them, and they're actually holding them back, that the redemption, the Geula, is waiting for the Jews to return back to their land, then how could they not do whatever was in their power to return home?
So the reality of our history has been, until things became uncomfortable for Jews, they did not largely leave the exile. And that's what that's what is before us now. People have to just see the signs, you know, read the handwriting on the wall and know that things are not the same. It'll take some doing because there's a natural resistance that people have to change, and especially to this great change that the homeland awaits them. I think in time, though, it will come. That's the sense I got from my community. I know in the last month there, I wrote maybe 7 or 8 different letters for people attesting to their Jewishness, the pre-Aliyah letters, because there is a growing concern amongst American Jews that what is not necessarily what will be.
But if they're coming back for negative reasons, my feeling is that they're not going to stay here. If they're running away from something and then things calm down in America, they're going to be on the next flight out. If they come here, they should come here also with the fundamental understanding of why a Jew should be living in Eretz Yisrael.
Not also, primarily. But I think the Makkeh Bepatish, the final impetus, is going to be that America is no longer the same.
Correct. And we have the concept of mitoch shelo lishma balishma, that a person will, even though his original, the impetus was not for the right reasons, but eventually it will lead to the right reasons. Meaning, there's a certain idea that you can't really understand that this is the Itchalta, the Gula, the beginning of the redemption, until you're here. From America, it's very hard to see it. You're too far away. When you're living here day in and day out and you see the constant miracles that are happening, I don't mean, you know, literal miracles, but, you know, the hidden miracles and the survival of the Jewish people here in Eretz Yisrael, I think people start getting that idea, understanding it once they're here. So sometimes I think that Hashem has to sort of force us to come, and eventually we get the point once we're here. Mitoch shelo lishma balishma.
That is true. At a certain point, you know, we've said three times a day for our entire lives, v'kabetzeinu me'arba kanfot haaretz, to gather us, God, from the four corners of the earth. And you don't even have to buy a ticket anymore. They buy the ticket for you.
Right.
The fact is, here now, I'm finishing my first week in quarantine. Jews for centuries would have given their right arms to be in quarantine in the land of Israel. And now it's so simple. It's so doable. It's not far-fetched at all. And I think that's the point that has to be underscored.
Yes. Okay. So we got to wrap up this segment. Josh, what do we have for the next segment?
Well, the next segment, first of all, Rabbi Przanski is welcome to join us for the next segment as well. We're going to be discussing the concept of redemption and exile, the concept of where we're holding right now, right in this period of time, right before Tisha B'Av, the saddest day of mourning for the Jewish people, when we mourn the destruction of both temples. And we remember on one hand, that we're in exile, but on the other hand, we're thinking about rebuilding. The sages say that that Mashiach, that the Messiah is born on Tisha B'Av, right? The redemption starts again when we have Tu B'Av, with a lot of concepts here to discuss, but we hope to get this on in the next segment. We're going to be discussing again exile and redemption. Those that want to call in are welcome to call in. Thank you so much for joining, and stay tuned.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel?
Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
We
Welcome back to Israel Unplugged. I'm here with my co-host, Rabbi Moshe Lichtman, and a special guest, Rabbi Stephen Krasansky, formerly of Teaneck, New Jersey, today of Modi'in. I have been involved with a group in America of Hasidim, of a Hasidic group that they get together and they're discussing Aliyah and the concepts of living here in Israel. And one of them wrote a short note to me right before Shabbat, and it almost brought me to tears when I read it. And I'm going to read it to you very quickly. So he wrote that, "I just wanted to share something. A member of the group who is in the process of filling out his Nefesh B'Nefesh application called the village clerk of Seferin, the area of Muncie where the local hospital is, to get his children's birth certificates. The village clerk asked him, 'What is going on? My phone has been ringing nonstop with people from Muncie calling to get their birth certificates and marriage licenses.' And he finishes off saying, 'Kima, Kima, it's happening slowly, slowly. Good Shabbos.' So there's no other reason why there would be such a influx of calls to get their marriage certificates and their birth certificates other than to promote the whole system of Aliyah. You have to, in order to, for those that listeners that don't know, in order to go through the Aliyah process and to immigrate to Israel, you need to submit all sorts of paperwork. And two of those are the birth certificates and the marriage certificates.
Yes.
Anyways, we're going to discuss a little bit about exile and redemption. Very interesting. The Gemara, the Talmud says in Sanhedrin that there's no clearer sign of the redemption than the sign of the Israel flourishing. And we mentioned during the beginning of the show how Mark Twain came here in 1866 and he saw a desolate land. And over the past 70-odd years, we were able to make this desolate land into one of the most flourishing lands on the earth. And there's no clearer sign, the Talmud says, than this, that the redemption is happening. Moshe, you wanted to speak a little bit about the concept of the exile and redemption when it comes to Tisha B'Av and the concepts of what was it that you were going to discuss?
Okay, well, first of all, I just want to mention one thing based on the Talmudic statement you just quoted from Sanhedrin. So, you know, there are these statements that are so clear, and when you match them up with what's happening to the Jewish people, what has been happening for the last 100, 150 years, it's really difficult to deny that we are living at the beginning of the redemption. So, you know, it's interesting that, you know, you talked about this Hasidic group, and during the break we were talking about this. There are even Satmar Hasidim. Now, Satmar are known to be the most vehement anti-Zionistic Hasidic group. And there are even some of them who are, you know, coming around a little bit and want to come back to Israel. So the great Grand Rebbe of the Satmar, Rav Yoel Teitelbaum, who wrote many works bashing Zionism. So when he comes to that particular statement in the Gemara, he has to deal with that. I mean, it seems to be that that's actually coming true. So he gives this, I think, a little bit of unplausible explanation that it's not referring to when Israel gives forth its fruits. It's only when it gives forth very, very special, miraculous fruits, like the Talmud talks about that the grapes will be like the size of melons, and you know everything will be really, really special. But what you see today is not really the fulfillment of that statement of the Gemara. So I always tell my students, I say, you know what, I'm not going to deny, you know, the Satmar Rebbe was a great Talmud Chacham, a great Torah scholar, and he certainly knew the sources. But I am telling you that the simple pshat, meaning the simple reading of so many of the sources of the rabbis, is that we are living through the Geula. And in fact, unlike what many people believe, the burden of proof is not upon us who believe that this is the redemption. The burden of proof is upon those who say it's not. Because, and again, they have to take these kind of statements and explain them in some unplausible way when the simple reading is that we are living through redemption. And to connect it to I'm sorry, yes, maybe I pronounced it.
I just wanted to add one point. What you're saying, Ein Lecha Keitz Megula Mizo, speaking about the flourishing of the land of Israel, so obviously we see it in our present circumstances. But there's something else also. In Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the Torah, and the Nevi'im, like Yechezkel and Zechariah, prophesied about Kibbutz Goliath, the ingathering of the exiles that will take place at the end of days. Who can deny that when Jews have arrived in Israel from 120, 130 different countries across the world, that is the very definition of Kibbutz Goliath? I remember saying to people a few years ago, if you're waiting for Kibbutz Goliath to happen, don't wait. It's happening before our eyes. This is what it is. That's another sign of the case.
There were 42,360 Jews that returned from the exile in Babylon to rebuild the Second Temple. And I always tell people that on an average day here in Israel, in Ben Gurion Airport, the main airport here in Israel, it facilitates 50,000 people. On a peak day, it's 100,000 people. That means that in one day, we're able to bring back more Jews than the entire return of Golus Bavel, of the return of the exile of Babylon. Just to understand the incredible context in which we're living is part of the educational system we need to relay to the Jews in America.
Correct. That's the main thing. Let's bring it around to, because we only have 5 minutes left, but we're going to bring it around to Tisha B'Av, since this is the show prior to Tisha B'Av. It's important to remember, you know, the Gemara at the end of Tractate Ta'anit talks about the five bad things that happened to the Jewish people on Tisha B'Av. Now, of course, we all know both temples were destroyed and other such terrible occurrences, and even many more have happened throughout the generations. And our keynote are filled with other stories of terrible persecutions and killings that happened to the Jewish people throughout the ages. But the first one, and the one that started it all and gave Tisha B'Av its nature, is the Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of the spies. The rabbis understood that the spies who came back and were supposed to give a good report about the land of Israel, they came back on the day before Tisha B'Av, and they caused the Jewish people to cry that night, which was the night of Tisha B'Av. The Jewish people cried about the terrible report that they heard about the land of Israel. And the rabbi said that God said at that point, you cried for no reason. I'm going to make you cry throughout the generations on this night. And we have to remember that the cause of all of our troubles throughout the generations is because of our lack of understanding and our lack of love for the land of Israel. And I think this is an important point that we have to all remember when we are going into Tisha B'Av. You know, they have all these beautiful, you know, videos that people watch about the importance of Shmirat HaLashon, watching one's tongue, because, of course, Lashon Hara also led to the destruction of the temple. But no one yet has put out a video on the most important thing, and that is that we have to rectify the sin that caused it all, the sin of the spies, despising the land of Israel, neglecting to take the gift that God gave us of Eretz Yisrael.
That is a very good angle to pursue, because after all, in America for years now, there's always an undercurrent of people thinking that why should we even mourn on Tisha B'Av? Now that we have the state of Israel. But now we can emphasize that it's true, we're blessed to have the state of Israel and the land of Israel under Jewish sovereignty. But what we're still lacking is the full rectification of the sin of the spies. Vayim asu beretz chemda, they scorned the desirable land. And look, I'm not such a knacker. I just came a week ago, 20, 30 years ago. But I could still say with the honesty and even admission of my own flaws, that to the extent that we're not fully embracing the value of dwelling in the land of Israel, we're still repeating the sin of the spies. And that's what needs rectification.
Thank you so much, Ryan Przanski, for joining us today. It was a beautiful show. Josh, you want to wrap things up?
Yeah. Yes. Well, first of all, I want to thank everybody for joining. Again, this is a live show. We're coming to you every Monday. We also have a recorded podcast, which and on our website, which is bringthemhome.org.il. For those people in the United States, it might be easier to go to IsraelTorah.org. I'll post those in the chat. And over there, we have a series of inspirational videos in which you can watch prominent rabbis and rebbetzins speaking about the importance of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael today, the importance of living in the land of Israel today. We also have the daily recorded podcast, which Rabbi Przanski was kind enough to be on this morning. And we also have lots of other elements there, educational elements to teach you how you should make Aliyah, but why you should make Aliyah, the importance of understanding the fundamentals of why a Jew should desire to make Aliyah. And one of the things that we just mentioned, I think, has to be added to the show, which is the concept of the rectification of the sin of the spies. Thank you so much, Rabbi Przanski and Rabbi Lichtman, for joining us today. And we look forward to having you in the future. Welcome home.
My pleasure.
Yes. Thank you. Okay.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.